Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. Sorry about that. My voice is not doing too well, so I'm going to have to just take it low here today. We've got a lot of information to share on the broadcast this morning. I trust you're all doing well. I want to begin with a quote from the President of the United States of America today, Donald J. Trump. As you know, tonight he's going to be having his first address to the Union. And a lot of people are looking forward to that, what's going to be said. But let me just read this article, and this is coming out of Zero Hedge, I believe. President Donald Trump signaled his disappointment that the Senate failed to advance a bill to ban abortions after 20 weeks. The vote by the Senate rejects scientific facts and puts the United States out of the mainstream in the family of nations, in which only 7 out of 198 nations, including China and North Korea, allow elective abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. Trump said in a statement, "The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act failed to advance with a vote of 51-46, short of the 60-vote majority threshold needed to move the legislation forward." Donald said, "We must defend those who cannot defend themselves. I urge the Senate to reconsider its decision and pass legislation that will celebrate, cherish, and protect life." So here you have the Senate of the United States of America unwilling to go the extra mile for the life of the unborn. We have the Senate that now stands in the way of the repentance necessary to soften the blow, if you will. But again, we have a very obstinate, a very rebellious Senate at times, a very obstinate, rebellious Congress at times, a very obstinate, very rebellious judicial Supreme Court of the United States at times, and at times a White House that is also obstinate. But here we see the president's heart wanting to defend, and it just appears to me if things continue to go the way that they are going, then there will be an ultimate victory. The people that resist in the beginning of this man's desires ultimately seem to be capitulating at some point. It's a very interesting thing. It works. But is the level of repentance satisfying the heart of God? Is the level of repentance in our nation turning God's wrath and his eye and finger of judgment away from the nation? And I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 9 today. And in Romans chapter 9, I found this absolutely thrilling for the elect of God, for the saints of God, and very chilling for the unrighteous in the world in which we live. So God says in Romans chapter 9, verse 16, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up." You remember who Pharaoh was. "That I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. You will say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who are you that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Verse 22. "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." We'll stop and consider for a moment what is being said here by the Apostle Paul, that God is the potter. And he's actually saying that there are vessels of wrath that have been fitted for destruction, and that God is actually enduring. I mean, when I look at those words there, that if God is willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. So he's enduring, he's allowing these vessels of wrath to continue on, even though they're fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Are you a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy? I've answered the question. I'm a vessel of mercy. I pray to God that you're a vessel of mercy. And the only way one could be a vessel of mercy is to have received the mercy of God through their faith in Jesus Christ and have accepted the blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. I mean, that's just the bottom. And so while there are many things transpiring in our world today, and today's going to be a pretty big day when you have the, you know, I'm sure millions of people around the world will be watching the State of the Union address, the first for Donald J. Trump. He just came back from Davos, Switzerland, where he knocked the ball out of the park. He just did. He did an outstanding job while he was there. Still, there's a little mist and a little haze over some people's minds. You know, who is this man? What does he represent? Is he from God? Is he someone we could get behind and, you know, go all in? And I think at the beginning of his presidency, there were a lot of people that had that sentiment that, you know, I'm going to get behind this man. I'm going all in. He is the revolutionary. He's going to be the Josiah. He's the reformer. And I'll tell you, everything he's standing for is really something that the majority, well, I shouldn't say the majority, that at least half of the people in this country are standing for. And that is, you know, safe borders. That is a culture of life. Stop the abortion. And, you know, you could see these attempts being made by he and Vice President Michael Trump and Michael Pence and the administration and the people within our country that are fighting this cause. But does this all testify that the desire of a president representing the desire of a large portion of this population does help us and to conclude that because desire is present, that all is well? That all is well. And I think a lot of us would probably say, no, that's not the cause. And so when it comes to being a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy, it puts God in a real elite place, which he is already the elite of the universe, and the universe is, and all that exists comes from God. Nothing exists anywhere, at any time, in any dimension that God has not created. He is the all creator, the only one true and living God. And he's speaking to finite beings like you and I. He's talking to us. He's revealing his heart to us through his word. He's showing us, he's warning us, he's telling us, you know, we are standing before something much larger than ourselves, someone who is much larger than all the nations are but a drop in the bucket, said the prophet Isaiah, that the nations, imagine that, in God's perspective, are drops in a bucket. Little drops of rain are the nations. God is not impressed with the strength of a man. God is not impressed. And yet here what is depressing is that you have a president that wants to fight this abortion issue, but then the majority of our senators fight against giving what is scientifically, factually evidenced that after 20 weeks of pregnancy, pain can be felt in the life of the baby. It's fact. It's science. And you're telling me the majority of the senators in the United States of America, at a time when we're being threatened with nuclear war, at a time when we're being threatened with terrorism, at a time when the dollar is sinking, at a time when there's so much division and potential for collapse all around us, that the senators, the majority of the senators in the United States said in their decision, knowing the facts, listen, they know the facts, 20 weeks, the abortion, the death, the murder of that baby is felt by the baby. You know what that tells me? It tells me in the justice of God, that if the leadership of this country is willing to allow an innocent little baby to feel the pain, that God's going to say to this country's leadership, you're going to feel the pain. And he's saying to this nation, you're going to feel the pain for not standing up and rebuking and pulling down these corrupt people that are in power within your nation. And so get ready. I want to read to you something about what I believe is happening in this country right now. You be the judge. Truly, I have brought all things, saith the Lord, to the place of overflow. Surely the vats shall overflow with oil and wine, anointing and deliverance on behalf of my people. Surely those who are mine, in whom my nature is revealed, shall eat the good of the land, and their floors shall be full of wheat. Surely my people shall eat and be satisfied and never again disappointed, for I am doing great things in their lives. Truly they shall possess houses they did not build and vineyards they did not plant. Surely they shall possess the double portion of my spirit, and they shall live in a land flowing with milk and honey. I am God and there is none other. I form the light and create the darkness. I am the one who created the waster to destroy and the smith that blows the coals in the fire. I am the Lord, and I will contend with every other god that would attempt to exalt itself above my throne. For I am, and there is no other, and I will contend with that nation whose back is turned to me. And I will contend with a people who have exchanged my glory for shame. Yes, there is a people whom I have brought through the wilderness and through flood and fire, and have allowed men to ride over them. But I am bringing them out into a wealthy place in this hour. I will call the meek and lowly to high places, and they shall ride and walk upon the high places of the earth. And I will call to those who have ruled in high places, senators, congressmen, judiciary, down into the lowest parts of the earth. I will destroy that which has become an abomination to me. And I will begin once again in my house, says the Lord. I raise up kings and exalt princes, and it is I who brings them down. I exalt the lowly and raise them up into the strongholds of the earth. I have heard the cry of my people that have been as strangers in the earth and have been disdained and downtrodden under the foot of men, and I will raise them up, and they shall take the dominion. I have a people great and strong who sit with me in heavenly places that have waited. I want to ask you a question. Do you think in the council chambers of heaven that there are 24 elders, four living creatures, innumerable angels? Do you think they would have voted knowing that a baby in a mother's womb would feel the pain of its death and rejected the measures to prevent that? Do you really think? And you know that's not true. So they have sought instruction more than fame, this humble body of believers, and have been content to sit with me in my glory. I am about to release them, for they have received instruction and knowledge and have understanding of what I'm doing in the earth today. They are being released from around my throne and are coming forth into the earth. They possess divine power to the pulling down of strongholds, and with their release shall come a wave of adversity. Dear believer, can I ask you a question, sir, ma'am? Have you known, according to the word of God, according to God's thought, God's reality, that if you are born again into Christ Jesus, that you are actually seated in heavenly places in your spirit? Did you know that? If you don't know that, it needs to become a revelation to you out of Ephesians chapter 2. Write that down and read it. According to the word of God, if you are born again, if Jesus Christ has become your Lord and Savior, if you have bowed the knee to the King of Glory and accepted everything of him, you have been born again into him, and he has been born again in you. And because of that relationship, you have been translated, your spirit. You've already been resurrected. Remember, you were dead in your sins, but he's made you alive. So you've already experienced the resurrection. So in the same way, you've already experienced a translation from this earthly soul-centered world to a spiritual life, which means your spirit, according to Ephesians 2, has been raised up and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So from your seat in heaven is where you have to make the righteous judgments and the decisions. And from a spiritual perspective, it's no longer the emotional life or the soulical human reasoning life. You're now in the spirit, having the mind of Christ, and you're viewing things from that perspective. And that's what makes you wise to the things of God. So when you look upon the decisions being made on planet Earth from a spiritual perspective, on Earth, they may think, well, this is wisdom. You got to give people the right. We don't want to be dominated. And that's all reasoning of the human nature. But being seated in heavenly places in the spirit gives you God's mind and heart. And you know God is not a promoter of abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, all these evils in the world. And you have to know that in your spirit. In this prophetic word, a very interesting statement was made, and it was about bees. A swarm of bees have been stirred up from Palestine. They are on the move and are coming to consume the land. If the hornets delay, there will be no time to stop the bees. Hospitals, as the overflow of my richness and blessing become the habitation of my people, the hospitals shall overflow with the dead and with much blood. Blood shall flow like a river whose banks could not restrain the flow. America, be ready, for at a time I have called in the day of adversity, and when the storm did come, this is speaking of 9/11/2001. Does anybody remember 9/11? Do you remember the hospitals overflowing with the dead? Do you remember? And God is saying, be ready, When the storm did come, I overflowed your churches with spiritually dead people. You know, the unredeemed. They fled to the churches, particularly in New York. You had nothing to give them. Do you remember what happened? Pastor David Wilkerson and others testified that the churches were packed out after 9/11, but weeks later, the people left because they didn't find what they were looking for in the churches. And so God is saying, even now, as your churches overflowed with the spiritual dead, so shall your hospitals overflow with the bodies of the dead. Your hospitals shall be turned into death camps, and you will have no way of containing, organizing, or handling the death tolls within your cities. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will cause it to come to pass. I am tearing down the walls of America and all the nations of the earth, and am bringing into judgment all that have mocked me, scoffed at my ways and righteousness. I will do it. Your eyes will see it. Your ears will hear of what the Lord has done. Know that I have written it, so that when the time comes, you will know of a surety that it is I, the Lord God Almighty, the God and Father of my Son Jesus, the Christ, that has allowed all these things to be. Why? Because you suffered that woman Jezebel to seduce my servants and to drink the blood of saints. So now the earth shall be saturated with blood. Your streets will overflow with blood. Afterwards shall my glory shine in the earth, and my glory shall run through the streets of every nation in the earth. I am coming. I am coming to tread the winepress, and the vats shall overflow with blood of the wicked. Yet at the same time shall my people overcome the last enemy, which is death. Be ready. Be on the watch. Be not dismayed when all that I have spoken comes to pass. Align yourself with my righteousness and play the harlot no more. The time has come. And then in this prophecy, there was a note. Within 1 hour of writing this word, the Lord led Patricia and I to a passage of scripture confirming his word. And here it is. Woe to the bloody city. It is full of lies and robbery. The prey departs not. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lift up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that sells nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. That was the end of the verse. And I will not translate what is evidently clear in these verses. However, I would ask you to consider one thing. Selleth families through her witchcrafts. Think about that. I had a dream last night of what I had written. And in my dream, I walked the hallways of a hospital and saw blood everywhere. It was overflowing out of containers, on beds, the floors, the walls, just everywhere. I saw men in total shock, bewildered. When I awoke, I was startled and began to pray. And I received an email so beautiful in contrast to what I had just dreamed that it relieved my spirit. I went into more prayer, then met with Patricia as she awakened for the first time in the morning. Together we opened the Word. We read some articles having to do with the Reformation, the 50 million lives that were destroyed during the Bolshevik Revolution, the countless millions of human beings destroyed during World War I and World War II. Needless to say, it's time to prepare. God is revealing all over the world through visions, through dreams, through his word. And I want to talk to you about this impending doom that will be right alongside of one of the greatest revivals for the elect of God that the world has ever known. We're not talking about national revival here. We're not talking about, you know, that type of thing. We're talking about a revival in the elect of God that will rise to power and do what God is wanting to get finished in this earth. So it would be prudent to prepare for what is coming. There are three levels of preparation that one must make. Number one, you know it and I know it. You've heard it and I've heard it. It's spiritually. The very beginning of our preparation for the days that we live in must be spiritual. Number two, emotional. Number three, physical. Spiritually, may the word of God dwell richly in your spirit at all times, everywhere. Be aggressive in evangelism as you share the word of God with others and become active in sharing the gospel. You too will be strengthened and made more aware of what is taking place around the world. Be diligent to feed your spirit every day and become more and more involved with prayer, fellowship, and the reading of the word in a corporate setting. That's how you feed your spirit. That's how you prepare. Emotionally, it has been said that the emotional impact upon America for what it is about to encounter is going to be dashed to the ground. People will not be able to cope with what is to come. And no doubt it will be worse than the 1929 stock market crash. One must be ready emotionally in keeping the word of God before them in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to activate within your soul realm. Allow the word to be active in your thought life. This will allow the transformation to develop as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to guide you. Let the spiritual reality become your emotional reality, i.e. love, peace, joy, and all the other fruits of the Holy Spirit. Physically, eat right. Put away food that will cause sickness and disease. Be wise as a serpent in this matter and get to working out. Go for as many walks as you can each day. Get outside, stay away from depressing atmospheres and isolation. Now is a time to be available. Exercise whenever you can. I highly recommend a 3-day survival pack and all your precious documents be put into them in plastic containers to preserve them from water damage. Make sure you have copies of your driver's license, deeds, mortgages, etc. Store all your bank account information as well. Have as much cash as possible set aside. Some would say silver and gold are precious commodities, so if possible, acquire them. However, remember, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In other words, be prepared for the supernatural power of God. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but at the same time, be wise and prepare. There are so many ways to prepare for the coming destruction, but always balance your preparation with the coming King and his kingdom. Let us be glad and rejoice in spite of what is coming down the pike. So what do we hear the Lord saying? Well, prepare. Prepare. Overflow. Both sides of the coin. It's called balance. It's called balance. Now, because of the labor in my voice this morning, it's 9:30, I would invite anybody that's out there today that may be tuned into this radio broadcast, I think it's time for us to talk. And I want to listen to you, because I need to hear from you, and I'll tell you why and what I need to hear. I need to know, especially those of you for the last 3 months particularly, we've been broadcasting on Omega Radio going on its 9th month. Its pregnancy season is here. It's birthing season. We've been 9 months. We've been faithfully doing this the best we know how. I have received a revelation from the Spirit of God several months ago about God wanting to rev things up, accelerate things. He wants to do some amazing things in and through his people. Divine acceleration. We've been talking about it for months. But at the same time, there's this other remaining residual reality of the warnings. Today was a very hard thing to share when we talked about seeing bloodshed everywhere. Now, on 9/11, we've seen it. San Bernardino, we saw it. Orlando, Florida, we saw it. We continue to see it in Philadelphia. Terrorism around the world does exist. 95 people killed the other day by a car bomb in Kabul. So, I mean, this is everywhere. I mean, death is everywhere. It's prowling. There's war. And I it's necessary for me to address both sides of this moment, because it's not a one-sided moment. It's a double-sided day, but it's one day. You and I have to choose what side of the day we're on. Are we on the light side of the day or the dark side of the day, the right side or the wrong side? Do we know the truth? Do we understand? But what I want to hear from you is your truth. I'm tired of hearing the negative, or I want to know more about the positive. I need to know if this radio broadcast, I mean, we're broadcasting 24/7. Thank God it's not just the Watchman program, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Omega Radio with all of our other hosts from Christopher Manti, Glenda Lomax, Jake McCandless. We still have Jay Sekulo, Rick Wiles. We still have great programs, Pastor Ted Marshall, Patricia Joy Xavier. I mean, there's a lot of Word of God being presented, a lot of truth being presented on the Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I'm interested in knowing your thoughts about what you're hearing on this broadcast. So I'm going to take our first call this morning, coming in from Pastor Ken Wagner. This seems to be a daily routine with us. Pastor Ken, how are you today, sir?
Good morning, Pastor. I hope your voice gets clearer and louder each day, even though it's soft spoken this morning, you're still speaking an awful lot of truth on here. And, you know, listening to you, I can't help but think of God. God is a God of mercy. He is a God of love, but he is also a God of judgment. And I'd like to read just a few scriptures out of here. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 5, and you'll see where I'm coming from on here. For they will willfully overlook and forget this fact, that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also, which was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished, the judgment part. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly people. Verse 9, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises according to some people's conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. It's a double-edged sword, Pastor. He is a God of mercy, and he's extending his mercy by withholding the judgments that should rightfully come forth. But that judgment will come, like you're saying on here. So we need to do what we need to go ahead and do and be ready for when that judgment does come.
It's a very interesting, Pastor Ken, that you bring up this idea about delays. Just yesterday, I was printing out some prophecies, and one of them was literally titled, No More Delays. I think that's very interesting. So let me ask you this. Let me make sure that we're doing the lines are open right now, by the way, 818-369-0326. Pastor Ken Wagner's on the line with us right now, and he's talking about, a confirming word that God ultimately is going to release, his sword of judgment, the words that he has spoken, the warnings that he has decreed over a nation, and we must stay alert. And what we're wanting to do is hear from you out there today about your thoughts of where this ministry is, Omega Radio, and just wanted to know how you're feeling about things like what you heard today. I mean, it was a very tough word. I believe it's true. I believe it's at the door. But what about you? The number to call, 818-369-0326, and we'll take that call. Let me do it right now. Area code 479-715. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. I don't know if there's time. I came across a writing about a voice in your womb, if it would be okay to read it. In Proverbs 30, okay, it says, open up thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all who are appointed to destruction. A voice in your womb, can you hear me cry, your plans to abort me, why, don't let those monsters come near me, please, I want to live, please protect me, please, I have a destiny to fulfill, what right do you have to take my life at will, you were allowed to live, why not me, I am a life with purpose, this must be, I have been given to you for safekeeping, in your womb, I am being shapen. Hear my cry, I do not want to die. Let me live, I have rights, you see. I am a life worth living, please let me be. I have overcome this far, do not end my life this way. A journey I have begun, I must remain. I am unique in this way. I have come from the Master's hand, and it is by him alone that desires to give me breath, the only one who has the only right to call me back home, a life worth living. Not in light, the bloodshed that you dreamed about. The abortions have happened on our watch, and we have not done near enough as the true body of Christ to stand in the gap and to stop the atrocities in the womb. And I believe we're reaping just not even in its full entirety of what we have allowed in the womb, and their blood cries out, and we reap what we sow. I mean, as God's word says, so that we would truly defend those that cannot defend themselves. And thank you.
Well, you know, I would like to ask you to do something. Would you please read that poem one more time, nice and slow?
Yes. A voice in your womb. Can you hear me cry? Your plans to abort me. Why, oh why? Don't let those monsters come near me, please. I want to live. Please protect me, please. I have a destiny to fulfill. What right do you have to take my life at will? You were allowed to live. Why not me? I am a life with purpose. This must be. I have been given to you for safekeeping. In your womb, I am being shapen. Hear my cry. Hear my cry. I do not want to die. Let me live. Let me live. I have rights, you see. I am a life worth living. Please let me be. I have overcome thus far. Do not end my life this way. A journey I have begun. I must remain. I am unique in this way. I have come from the Master's hand, and it is by him alone that desires to give me breath, the only one who has the only right to call me back home, a life worth living.
Wow. Wow. And when did you write that, Carla?
That was 7/13 of 2008, between 2 and 3 a.m.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. Well, praise God. Yeah. You know, so what we're talking about for maybe somebody that's just tuning into the broadcast is, you know, the president of the United States, and I'll just read this one more time just in case you didn't know, Donald Trump signaled his disappointment that the Senate failed to advance a bill to ban abortions after 20 weeks. Now, here's the thing. What they know, the bill was called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. And scientifically, all right, scientifically speaking, It is. Now, let me just get here. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act failed to advance with a vote of 51-46, short of the 60-vote majority threshold needed to move the legislation forward. And the vote by the Senate rejects scientific fact and puts the United States out of the mainstream in the family of nations, which is only 7 out of 198 nations that allow the baby after 20 weeks to still be aborted, which means the fact is the baby can feel the pain. I know God feels the pain at the very inception, but the baby could actually feel the pain after 20 weeks. And here's a Senate that is actually making laws, keeping laws, saying, no, we know the baby feels the pain, but we still got to give that mother that right to murder that baby. And I believe that there's a consequence for this, and that's what we're talking about. And that's why it's kind of a disturbing moment, I think, for a lot of people. The number to call right now is 818-369-0326. We'd love to hear your thoughts about what is going on in your life. And again, I'm really wanting to know your thoughts here. Pastor Ken, any thoughts on your part?
Yes, sir. Years back, Peggy and I both worked for the crisis pregnancy centers, and we gave our time in there. One of the interesting films that they showed was an actual ultrasound of an abortion that was taking place. And in that one, that movie is called The Silent Scream. When the devices were inserted to go ahead and actually suck that life out of that baby, that baby dodged that device and tried to get around it, move around it. And this is all in the womb. And when that device finally touched that fetus, that baby in there, the mouth opened in a scream. And that's why they called it the silent scream. That has gone on over and over and over again in these abortions. That baby will feel that pain. There's no two ways about it. We knew this back in the late 70s. And now they're just finally getting around to bringing it out now. But I just want to read one other scripture, if I may, on here to go along with this. And that's in the book of Jude, and starting in the second part of verse 14. This is in the Amplified again. And Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with his myriads of holy ones, 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all the impious, unholy ones of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed." So there's a fine line on here that God draws between his judgment and his mercy on here. And that time is really shortening, where we have time to go ahead and amend our ways as a nation, our ways as a people, before God comes and strikes once again.
Well, amen. And time is an interesting thing. Time is an interesting thing when we say the Lord will not delay. The Lord is going to move. The Lord spoke. He's going to move. It's in his sovereign time, and it always happens to be at a time when people least expect it. I don't think anybody woke up Tuesday morning, 9/11/2001, thinking today, you know, planes are going to be flying into the World Trade Center, regardless of who did it. I don't think people were thinking that was going to happen. It was a beautiful, a fall morning, sunny skies, just absolutely beautiful. I remember where I was, and I believe that and I think people are having a hard time, getting their thoughts really understood, that at the moment that this violent act is taking place against this nation, because the very senators who could care less about that baby's feelings, is the way that God says in Proverbs 1, I don't care about your feelings when your calamity comes. And when this calamitous event comes, I think God's people need to know that's going to be the moment of your release. Right now, everybody's working out their salvation with fear and trembling. Right now, everybody is living day to day, going through the motions, you know, of what we're doing, staying close to God. But there's a release moment coming, and God has made that very clear in my understanding, that there's going to be a release of the saints of God, the elect of God, with a divine glory operating in their lives. But this will happen simultaneously with the detonation of this violent event against this nation. You know, it's just absurd to me, absolutely absurd to me. that our Senate and our senators have allowed that. It just blows my mind. One person said 20 weeks. That is like 5 months. What rational, insane person cannot admit that a fully formed fetus right on the cusp of being able to survive outside the womb isn't basically already a living human being worthy of protection? And so one of the things, this Mitch McConnell, he's going to have the blood on his hands too, because Mitch McConnell continues to use the 60 vote rule in order to stifle the president's agenda, really, to make the this nation great again. And that has to be changed to the 51 vote, some people are saying. And it gets into a political issue, and I hate that because I don't believe abortion is a political issue. We're waiting to hear from you out there today. We've got about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Pastor Ken.
Pastor, it's, you know, a situation on that. I will come to a little defense of Mitch McConnell on here and that 60-vote rule, for the very reason that if the Republicans are in power right now, if they have 51 votes, they can do it. But what happens if the Democrats all come in later on and have a majority, then they can reverse every single thing that was done as well. So I can understand where he's coming from. You know, it's hard to justify, but I can understand where he is coming from for that very reason. Nevertheless, on here, looking at the whole scenario the way it is an ungodly thing that we're talking about here, where they're allowing those abortions to happen that very way. And that's something that God is going to literally, I think, I can't help but think when you talked about waking up and seeing blood all over. Well, could that be the blood of those 80 million children that have been aborted? And I can see where, you know, some of the scriptures talked about in the time of desolation, it'll be like blood knee-deep on the earth from the battles and from the slaying that is going to be going on. I wonder if that's what you were actually seeing.
It may be. And, you know, the disheartening thing is we're being told that the abortion clinics across the country, I think it was $1.4 billion, and it's probably way higher than that, but imagine $1.4 billion for the mass murder that has been underway in our nation and the selling of the body parts of these little children. They knew years ago that these little fetuses, these embryos, this aborted being, their parts, their liquids were used in shampoo, in conditioner, in skin cream, because of there's a particular substance, you'll probably remember what it was, that comes from the baby and from the milk and all this different stuff. It's really a wicked, wicked thing that has been legalized within our nation and has been supported and upgirded and upheld for over, gosh, where are we at? Over 50 years now, over 40 years of abortions, 45 years. So again, very intense. I want to take a call coming in from my area code here, 858-864, Patricia Joy Xavier. Welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you. I am blessed with this broadcast because so many wonderful things are coming from it. But there is also some more very good news, and this is what you mentioned that you were hoping for. And it's on its way. I'm telling you, it's going to be turned around. There has been spectacular conversions in the pro-life movement. And what happened is Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, the former abortionist Dr. Bernard Nathanson, were both abortion crusaders turned pro-life activists. After peddling terrible lies in the name of abortion, they brought many, many more people to the light. Imagine what a conversion of this abortion can do. So it's on its way. People are changing their attitude and thoughts about it, and pro-life is beginning to have a hit right where it's necessary, in the center of the consciousness of people. And I am thankful that it's beginning at least, and we need to pray and continue to pray that it'll be turned around, because that poem I read from the woman who called was so exceptional that should go all over the world. That should go viral. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, I happen to agree with you about the poem. And, you know, it's awesome because Muslims around the world are converting to faith in Christ, right? We're hearing that from Iran, Afghanistan, and now you're hearing about abortion people turning to faith in Christ. This is consistent with the moment, let there be light, excuse me, let there be light, where within this generation, God's going to shine the illuminating light so that people can come out of the darkness and get saved. And then that total eclipse of the Great Tribulation will come. So, yes, we rejoice in the consistent theme of God winning souls. And that is awesome. Let's take our next call coming in from South Dakota. Area code 605, you're on the air.
Yes, Vincent. Concerning your broadcast, I was wondering, is this the only time that you are on from 9 to 10 on
so
Omega?
So far, yes. Yes, okay. So far.
Okay, well, I want to tell you, see, we're retired people, but I wonder if your timetable, like, I don't know how, you know, you do this, but anyway, more people, they're working all day, so they can't listen on the radio, you know, or telephones like this, a lot of them. I wonder if your time slot would change, then you would get more response from people and they could hear this, or isn't that possible?
Yeah, it's interesting. We do repeat the broadcast, which is interesting. Yeah, we do. The broadcast is repeated. Let me show you where that's at here. So we are rebroadcasting in our lineup at our exact time. We're on it from 9 to 10, but then the Watchman is repeated at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then it's also repeated once again in the evening. I have to get... let's see. Yeah, so we're pretty much right there at 1 o'clock, and that lineup is on the website.
What do you think would be a good time?
Yeah, what do you think would be a good time?
What are you asking me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're so
the people. Okay, the people usually work 9 to 5. All right, and when they get in their cars, they can just and once they know you're on. You know, we do this a lot when we're traveling. We have no means of, you know, getting it through the internet, so we just pull it up on our cell phones. And I would think sometime in that 4 to 7 or something like that, people are stuck on highways in the cities and whatever.
Okay, so what I'm gleaning from what you're saying, Kathy, is that this broadcast is meaningful to you. And if we're being graded, everybody's being graded, the president, what are you getting? He says he's getting an A+. If we were to grade what God is doing through this broadcast right now and the messages and the things that we're sharing, if we're looking for somewhat of a grading from the people, not that we're trying to please people. That's not it at all. So you think we're doing okay?
Yes. The general public have not totally came to their senses of what is going on. But there is a remnant of people out there that are aware of what's happening, and I believe that this is definitely the word of the hour.
Yes, I believe it's the Great Awakening. People are beginning to awaken.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, I don't know if it's a timetable for people or what, but, yeah, they need to hear this. I mean, you know, if you just have a cell phone, everybody has one, and if you just program it in, and if you're interested, you can pull it up at a time when you're not at work.
And I want to make sure that our listeners understand something, and I don't know, maybe the only way to understand a perfect balance, you know, a line. One side is equal as the other side. One day is dark, the other day is light. And so when we minister the things of God, God's people must be encouraged. that God is about to do supernatural things in our lives. If God does not do something supernatural in our lives, very few people are going to be able to endure what's coming down the pike. So he's told us of the darkness. He wants us to reveal the light. He's saying at this moment, with everything that he's decreed and declared that which will be fulfilled, is that it's a moment for people to be quickened. It is a moment for people to be awakened. It is a moment for people to get off the fence and get fully involved with what God is doing, and then get ready for a Pentecostal experience. I mean, the Spirit of God was poured out on the saints 2,000 years ago that accelerated the church to bring us to the point that we're in right now. And so there's got to be an expectation in God's people that another great outpouring of his Spirit in his people to get the job done. The last time in the book of Acts, the people were gathered together in a home. They were afraid of all the evil that was going on. The house shook and God filled them all with the Holy Spirit a second time. And I'm believing God's about to do the same thing in this hour in which we live. Your thoughts?
Are you now you're asking me? I know you have other people on the line. So.
Anybody who wants to talk. No, no, no. That's great, Kathy. What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, just this morning, I was reading in the book of Hebrews. And you know, the patriarchs of old, they just hung on by faith for the day that we're coming. You know, we're in a day now that they would have never lived till. But these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So these people knew back there, the patriarchs of old, they knew they would not be here when a lot of this was going to be fulfilled in the end times. But they just hung on by faith, and I think truly that is what is basically happening today. There's a lot of people that they are believing by faith, and that is the thing that is going to keep us strong and close to the Lord.
Amen. Well said. Yeah, amen to that. And let me give a visual to what I'm trying to present so people don't think, well, I'm trying to play it safe on both sides. That's not my. That's never been my heart. Here's the visual. Abraham was on a mountaintop entertaining God while Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And while Sodom and Gomorrah was burning on fire, Abraham was moving on in the eternal purpose of God untouched. There is a seed of Abraham in the earth today, a natural seed and a spiritual seed. The believers in Jesus Christ are the children of Abraham. And that righteous seed is moving on in the mountain of the Lord in the eternal purpose of God. And we need to know that. While at the same time, God's people are moving on. I'm not talking about the lukewarm. I'm not talking about compromised apostate Christians, one foot in, one foot out. That's you get vomited out of the mouth that way. I'm talking about the elect of God, the true seed of Abraham. They're moving on while at the same time, Sodom and Gomorrah is being set on fire. I believe Washington, D.C. is going to get hit, and I believe many nations and many cities within our nation are going to get hit. I believe that we're going to see the blood. I believe the hospitals will overflow. I believe in the plagues. Why? Because God said those things are coming upon an unrepentant, rebellious nation that has blasphemed the holy things of God. Shame on the senators that voted against the life of the innocent. Shame on those. Even though we know scientifically that these babies, after 20 weeks, feel the pain, we're still going to allow it to happen. Well, may that same pain, you know the rest of the story. I've got to go. Patricia Joy Xavier is up next right here on the Omega Radio Network, and I know she's going to carry a beautiful anointing for these moments. So, guys, thanks for calling in. We appreciate your calls. I'm going to say goodbye tomorrow. I'm going to go get my voice fixed here, and Patricia's going to take over the airwaves. So, good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. How are you doing on this wonderful morning?
I am doing just fine. I am feeling hopeful. I am feeling that God is moving in our direction. Hallelujah. Forget America and the world. God is coming to judge the whole thing. but he is bringing answers to the body of Christ in a new and living way. And I believe the awakening, the great awakening that we always heard about, that we always thought, when would that ever be, is beginning to happen. Does that mean that there won't be destruction upon the earth? Well, I'll tell you the truth. The Bible tells us that there will be. So there we have the answer. Great destruction, more than ever has been or ever will be from the very beginning of time. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, and today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which helps to maintain us during these very vile times of our lives. And yesterday we discussed a few things, and I want to go back to that. We discussed the abominations are being thrust in our direction. We heard about it with the children, with all the babies that are being destroyed in the womb, millions and millions. We are the number one nation in the world that are killing our babies. The rest are letting their babies come forth and teaching them things they shouldn't know, abominable things to hurt and kill others. And yet the babies that are in our wombs in the United States of America, we're killing them all off. We're going to become a nation that has no more growth. And that's what it's all about. It is decrease, the abomination of what? Desolation. It's becoming desolate in oh so many ways. And we discussed that these abominations Satan is bringing forth. And he's using vessels to do so. With all that surrounds us, we know that people are the vessels used by Satan to bring forth these abominations that we're talking about. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We have to keep that in mind always. We must also realize that this will continue to worsen until the minds of the unredeemed men are completely darkened and corrupt, lest we save some before that destruction comes to them. And we have been told in the scriptures that in these latter days that we are in, there will be great distress from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Are we getting it? Are we beginning to understand what has been written, what has already been prophesied to happen in this world? And we also know that God is pouring forth his Holy Spirit and calling his remnant into action through his word. That's why I wrote the book. I wanted everyone to know that when the enemy, Satan, comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And we are God's standard. I want all to know this, that love the Lord and desire righteousness. We must begin to understand, body of Christ, who we are. And those who are listening that have not become part of the body of Christ, please reconsider. I will tell you, you will be saved for eternity if you do. You will resurrect in the last day in which we are in. You will resurrect, and you will resurrect into eternal salvation of bliss experiences you never thought possible. So we are God's standard, and the word standard in Hebrew, and I love this, means put to flight, make to flee. The scriptures tell us this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we resist him by casting him out whenever and wherever we find him. By the authority, and listen to this authority, it's not the authority of the world, but the authority invested in us. We, the standard invested in us through the shed blood of Christ by his name, the greatest authority that ever existed for eternity. from the very beginning to the very end, and there will not be an end. So let us take a good close look at this authority granted to us through the shed blood of Christ and the protection it provides the believers. This is so important because we need to understand that we are protected and our faith must go in that direction, or else we will be taken. And only those who endure to the end shall be saved. The faith is necessary. Faith is necessary. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 reads, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme." And don't you see it? Don't you see it in the government? Don't you see it in the world? Don't you see it in America right now? The devil's schemes, if you have any discernment at all. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world." And we're seeing those powers. We're seeing those authorities. We're seeing the shadow government. We're seeing the dark stage of everything. And it is unbelievable what has been going on, but is now being exposed. So, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, we struggle against that. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Come on, let's do so. Let's put on the full armor of God, and so that when the day of evil comes, we can be able to stand our ground. And after we have done everything to stand, we stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist. Now, I know a lot of people go through the antics of putting the salvation upon their heads and all of that. But what the truth of the matter is what it's saying. It's saying that we have the belt of truth around our waist. It's not even a question. It has been granted with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Do you have that righteousness? You have been granted that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who makes you righteous. If you have done that, if you have received it, the breastplate of righteousness is in its place. You're there. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, you cannot be ready for anything unless you have the gospel of peace, peace within your heart. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, not as the world does, but as I have." He has left the peace with us, the Holy Spirit. And why do we have that peace? Because he has died on the cross for it. He has taken that which comes against our peace upon himself, so that we may have, and not as the world has. How does the world have peace? By false imaginations, by falling into bondage of alcoholism and drugs, by going from one affair to another, by being involved with pornography. They think it gives them a sense of peace. It doesn't. It destroys their very minds, souls, and beings. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all, hear that, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And he is throwing those arrows. He is pointing them right to us. And he is letting those arrows go, the evil one. And he is doing it rapidly and quickly and on target. But guess what? We have a shield. We're lifting that shield up.